They're back, and if it sounds like deja vu all over again, well, not much has moved on Capitol Hill during a week of recess by the House. But we found a couple of things you should know about, even in this second week of recess. Joining me with what to expect, David Hawkins of CQ Roll Call. And David, it looks like Paul Ryan is doing all kinds of strange things, maybe running for president, but also putting a clamp on spending bills.
That's right. So he says that Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, who got the job by promising a return to so-called regular order, says appropriately, when you actually sort of look at the rule books, you're not supposed to do any spending bills without doing a budget. Whether he follows through with that commitment to living by the letter of the law or the letter of the rules, it's not actually law, it's rules, is up in the air. What the problem here is that once again, the so-called confrontational Tea Party conservative House Freedom Caucus crowd of about two or three dozen, maybe four dozen members say that the budget that is in the offing would spend too much and that they won't vote for this budget. And without their votes, the Republicans can't pass this budget on their own. And therefore, there is no budget blueprint to set out the parameters for the spending bills. Now, it is the case that under the rules, as of, I think, the middle of May, these spending bills can go forward. They can come to the House floor. The regular order of things can proceed. But the real story here is that the budget process is once again a mess. It's once again in limbo. All the early optimism that I think I shared on the air weeks ago is faded, and we are now looking at yet another election year, like the last two presidential election years, where Congress essentially kicks the budget into the lap of the new president.
So the budget that he says we don't have was actually the second year of the ostensible two-year budget agreement reached a year ago.
That's exactly right. Good point, which is that in theory, this is the budget that is supposed to be drafted by Congress this year was supposed to be a very simple one, reaffirming the agreement that had been reached last fall when John Boehner was still the speaker, and he cut a deal with the Democrats that was going to allow, that did allow, a $30 billion, with a B, billion-dollar increase in spending on military and domestic programs last fall, and was supposed to allow a similar increase over the so-called sequester caps this year. But now with Boehner gone and a new year and an election year and the conservative Freedom Caucus feeling its oats just a few months into Paul Ryan's speakership, they want to renegotiate that deal. They say that was a bad deal. They did vote against it, and they want to reopen it and try and stop it from happening.
And one irony here is that federal agencies right now are at work on their 2018 requests, which don't come to fruition in the form of a roll-up until, you know, early next year. But I wonder what it's like to try to work on 2018 when 2016 and 2017 are kind of difficult.
It would be difficult for my head to get that around, such forward planning in the absence of certainty. But I think the budget officers at these departments and agencies, they've been around for a while, are used to this. As I said, in the last two presidential election years, Congress lumbered along until the early fall and then decided that they couldn't get spending bills done. And they passed a CR, a continuing resolution, a stopgap bill that lasted until February or March of the new administration year. In other words, past the inauguration. In one year, this was a bet on both sides that either Barack Obama or Mitt Romney was going to be either Barack Obama was going to be reelected or Mitt Romney was going to beat him, and each side was willing to take that bet. And similarly in 08, same bet, the Republicans bet McCain would win, the Democrats bet that Obama would win, and they would rather make that bet and take their chances than try and buckle down and get a deal before the election.
It's almost like Carmen. You know what's going to happen in the end, but you go through the whole thing anyway, even though the knife is going to be fake.
It's an excellent analogy. Thank you.
All right, and let's move on to another topic, and that is the administration delivered an ISIS strategy to Congress, which is going to be debated. And this involves, of course, the entire military, and lots of implications to this in light of recent events and in light of earlier promises that there would be no ground troops of the United States against ISIS.
Well, that's right. So as I understand the ISIS strategy, this was a compulsory report that essentially Congress last fall ordered the Pentagon to deliver to Congress by right about now, and that what they have received from the Pentagon at the end of last week, they view as insufficient and essentially old wine in slightly different bottles, a relatively brief report, that declaration of strategy that is mostly a restatement of what the administration is already doing. This comes, as you allude to, at a time when one of the few things that does get done every single year, at least for the last 50 years, is the writing of a so-called NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, known also on the Hill as the Defense Authorization Bill. As soon as Congress comes back from its spring break, they will start marking up those bills, and the debate will be intense, but it will be with the Republicans going into the election season saying, this administration is ill-prepared for this, is underprepared, is not thinking of new and smart ideas for taking out ISIS.
We're speaking with David Hawkins, senior editor at CQ Roll Call. And the final thing I wanted to ask you about, and this is something I talked about on my show with Admiral Zukov, commandant of the Coast Guard, who was delighted that it seemed like there was movement in getting a new icebreaker ship for the Coast Guard, which has a lot of national security and foreign policy implications, actually. But now Representative Duncan Hunter is saying maybe it's not enough, and maybe the Coast Guard is being too slow in the way it acquires an icebreaker. And so that promises to break the ice on this deal, too.
It does. So Mr. Hunter, who is, for listeners who have been around a long time and who pay attention to defense policy, I hope they're not confused. This is Duncan Hunter Jr., son of his predecessor in Congress, was also his dad, a former chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. Young Duncan Hunter has been is sort of a rising force on armed services. And for reasons that I'd be curious to do some more research into, even though he is from the San Diego area, he is one of the biggest proponents of icebreakers and has been since he came to Congress, has been talking about this as a big national security threat and has sort of made this one of his subspecialties. This all circles back to where we started this conversation, which is the budget, which is how much more in discretionary spending to permit. We should sort of put a fine point on the notion that what's one of the debates that's going on within the Republican Party is that some Republicans want to allow all $30 billion of this new additional spending this year. Some want to allow none of it, and some are willing to only allow the half of it that would go to national defense. So there are sort of the fiscal hawk purists, the defense hawks who don't care so much about domestic spending, and what I guess I would refer to as the budget realists, who understand that politically it's very difficult to write these bills and get them all passed for both domestic and foreign and national defense spending without the $30 billion. So without those extra $15 billion, I'm not sure that ambitious plans for accelerating the growth in the Coast Guard have much of a chance.
Interesting. And so I guess my overall question then, in looking at the week ahead, it is getting toward spring. The official spring is here. And pretty soon it's going to be official summer. Any thought that to Congress to extend the working days beyond what they have scheduled for recess just to try to get any of this done?
I think the answer to that is no. And I think to be fair to Congress, sticking around, spending more time in Washington would not necessarily break the logjam. It's not the absence of communication between the Republicans and the Democrats and the distance between them on these issues is not really related to how much time they spend in Washington. So I think the answer to that is no. What is true is that for the first time in my memory, when they announced the schedule for the year, they announced that there would be a lame duck session. Usually Congress sets out a schedule in an election year that talks optimistically about going home before the election and not coming back afterward. This year, both the House and the Senate, in their scheduling plan, said, yes, of course, there's no way we'll get all our work done before the election. We'll definitely have to come back. So there is a six-week period in the schedule between essentially Veterans Day and Christmas when we know Congress will be back. Generally, the whole point of a lame duck session is that the lame duck, obviously referring to members of Congress who were either defeated or retired and have the politics of the moment lifted off their shoulders and can make the tough decisions. That's sort of the idea. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it really does work. There have been some lame duck sessions where things that seemed intractable in the summer and fall miraculously get resolved in that sort of sweet moment between when one election is over and members aren't quite yet looking to raise money and start campaigning for the election 2 years hence.
As my grandmother used to say, we should live so long. David Hawkins is senior editor of CQ Roll Call. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.